The loss of so many jobs, the people whose fathers and grandfathers were
and daughters and
all the marriages that were made there, and including your own.
Indeed,
can you talk to me about that?
Well, I worked as an engineer there, and I met Joan there. Not a bad place. A lot of people met their wives in Jacobs. Not a bad place to meet your wife or your work. You can observe them unobserved, if you get me. See what sort of people they are. Work very well. I've been married 47 years and very happy. You're bound to get a lot of people, you know, all intermingling. But the ratio you see in Jacobs in the factory end was probably 80-85% girls and 15% men. And chiefly because in those days, girls were paid a great deal less than men. Then came equal pay, which in England was, jobs were graded, and depending on what the job was the rate of pay you got. Equal pay in this country didn't mean that at all. It meant men's wages for women. And that really came in and killed huge number of industries in Ireland. When Stanley Shoes, you named them, they all folded up. That was unacceptable. The wage rates were suddenly from being less than England, 25% higher than England.
Did the common market make a difference? Other businesses coming in?
I don't know that it made a huge difference, frankly.
The supermarkets, big chains.
None of them are continental. I mean, the Littleham people are coming in now, but up till then, really, it was a sterling-related economy rather than a Europe-related economy. Yeah. On the macro sense, I'm sure it made a difference in that money came in to build roads or something like this. But that would have spilled down, maybe, to buying biscuits. I have my doubts if it made a huge difference.
You know, when you look at Jacobs and Bewley's, I mean, Dublin is completely... the Jacobs has been there for over...
150 years.
And the name is synonymous.
Still there.
Yes.
Yeah, it is still there. Yeah,
And so is Bewley's.
Yeah, but very much so. Well, Bewley's name is probably more prominent. Bewley's get really... boxes above its weight, in my view. It's quite a small business, and it was totally unprofitable towards the end. It went broke,
but it kept on diversifying. It went into hotels.
But that was Patrick Campbell. That was really nothing to do with the Bewleys themselves. But that stage, there wasn't a Bewley left in the place, and it was his initiative and so forth. And how on earth they got into hotels, I'm not quite certain, because. It's a franchise. They're using their name. They built up a business on how to run a hotel, and then they franchised it out. But it was nothing to do with Bewley's making coffee. But it was very shrewd business thinking. They used the Bewley's name.
Yes.
But as a business, Bewley's turnover and everything was very small. But what really killed Bewley's was they didn't have a pension scheme. And they were paying pensioners out of cash flow. And at one stage, they had something like 400 employees and 800 pensioners. The business couldn't survive like that.
Yeah, so that would kill us, absolutely.
Absolutely. And that was the stage that Patrick Campbell got involved. And a lot of people felt aggrieved that the pensioners had their pensions cut, but, you know, they were actually damn lucky to have anything at all. They might have had nothing.
But that was the one thing that you looked after.
There was a pension scheme with us since the 1920s. Contributory, but, latterly, the contribution rates by the company were way ahead of the contribution rates by the employee.
Yeah. The workers who worked in Jacobs would all say that it was a wonderful company to work in. Mm. You know, everything went so well. Mm. And what were the contributory factors to that?
Well, I think we were very open. First of all, you could see I was at work before 8 every morning, or 7. They could see that the directors worked in the company, and they were there, and they put the graft in. And if you needed to be there at 11 o'clock, there you were, there at 11 o'clock at night. And if you needed to go in during the night shift, you went in during the night shift. You were there on Saturdays or Sundays if you were needed. They could see that everybody was contributing. They weren't just sitting somewhere and taking a dividend. They could also talk to you. I talked to everybody on the factory floor. I knew everybody on the factory floor by name, practically. When I left, there was 500 people. I knew them all, and they knew me. And people would come to me in my office with a problem, personal problem maybe. Well, they go to the personnel department as well, or their human relations as it became. But they would come to me too if they had a problem. They might have a problem. They had a son or daughter that was wanted a job, and did I know anyone could put a word in for them, or these kind of things. And we were there to help. And when I would be commissioning plant, some people said they hate commissioning plant because... But I would always look upon commissioning plant as making a job easier for the employee. Now, there would be less of them. I would accept it. But those that were there, it was easier for them. The machine did the work, not them. And you were trying to make the machine do it right. And I would always talk to the operators and say, this isn't great. What do you think we should do to make that better? Do you think if we replace that canvas with the such and such? Or even did the... And you know, the people who know more about the plant are the fellows who operate at 8 and 10 hours a day.
So you were looking for their input
They were involved. They were involved. And they said, look, we did this, we did the other. Okay, we'll get that done now. At 5 o'clock, I'll have that done for you. And we do this. And you know, you'd have... Every now and again, you'd have an argy-bargy with them, or there'd be a bust-up about something. But, you know, fellows that I'd have... terrible arguments with on occasion, greet me like a long lost brother in the pensioners' party. And you know, there was no animosity at all, frankly. Now, we had a few strikes, but I've always said strikes are fomented by outsiders, really.
Yeah, but did the unions kill you though? I mean, were they?
No,
did they not?
No, I wouldn't say so. We had pretty good relations, particularly with the Workers' Union of Ireland. The Amalgamated Transport and General Workers' Union was more troublesome, but the union is only as strong as its local individuals. And you know, management should be able to know what's the far side of the hill, and they should be able to manipulate themselves so they can get themselves in a position to get over the hill if they can't. And also, they don't abdicate responsibility. People who say it's the union's fault that the place was run by the unions. Well, if the place was run by the unions, it was run by the unions because the management weren't running it.